sing. I'm almost like a fellow, a friend of mine, that they were pretty good singers, but they was at a place and they sang, and the old fellow in the back said, "Brother Johnny, I sure hope you can preach." And he said, "Well, why is that, brother?" He said, "Because you sure can't sing." That's how I feel sometimes, but I just sing as unto the Lord. But this was a request, and we may have to change keys. We're going to sing this a couple times. But out on the water, storm raging high, trouble that night, fear filled their hearts, they thought they might die. They failed to remember the Master was nigh. Then he spoke the words, the winds all stood still, even the water obeyed his will. He calmed their storms just like he has mine. I'll just remember he lives deep inside. So why should I worry? Why should I fear? Very same Jesus, he stays always near. Lives in my heart, hears when I cry. Call on his name till the storm passes by. I read in the Bible how he walked with them, brought light to their darkness when their way grew dim. How great it would be to have his hand hold in mine, and to walk with the Master all of the time. But then troubles came, death was so nigh. They searched for the Master, he came right on time. So when I'm in trouble, my body's in pain, all I have to do, call on his name. So why should I worry? Why should I fear? The very same Jesus, he stays always near. Fills my heart, he's there when I cry. I call on the man till the storm passes by. Oh, why should I worry? Why should I fear? The very same Jesus, he stays always near. Lives in my heart, hears when I cry. Call on his name till the storm passes by. Oh, it was out on the water, storm raging high. Waters around them were troubled that night. Fear filled their hearts, they thought they might die. They failed to remember the Master was nigh. Then he spoke the words, the waves all stood still. Even the water obeyed his will. He calmed their storm just like he has mine. If I'll just remember, he lives deep inside. So why should I worry? Why should I fear? The very same Jesus, he stays always near. Lives in my heart, hears when I cry. Call on his name till the storm passes. Sing that chorus with me one time. Oh, why should I worry? Why should I fear? That very same Jesus, he stays always near. He lives in my heart, he hears when I cry. Call on his name till the storm passes by. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God we can trust Him. We really can. Then I was requested, almost told. It wasn't really commanded, but almost. So we had to sing this again today. If the ship of your life tossing on the sea of strife, you need someone. If you feel so all alone, your house is not a home, you need someone. If it seems life isn't fair, no one left to share all those lonely days and nights, things don't turn out right, and you want someone to care, someone to just be there. You need someone. Help me sing the chorus.
I give you Jesus.
He's the peace that passes all understanding.
Oh, I give you Jesus. He's the perfect love that casts out my water that you drink and never thirst again. I give you Jesus,
He's my friend. I give you Jesus. If the pressure's all around keep your spirit to the ground, you need someone. If your body is in pain, your health you can't regain, you need someone. There are times that you've tried with all the strength you've had inside. Seems that you have failed. Remember on that cross He nailed all the bitterness and grief to give you peace and sweet relief. Is that someone, someone that you need? I give you Jesus. Oh, He's the peace.
Peace that passeth all understanding.
Oh, hallelujah. I give you Jesus. He's the perfect love that casteth out my fear. I give you Jesus, my friend. I give you Jesus. I kind of feel like singing this first verse again. Sometimes we get to feeling like we're all by ourselves. Even in a crowd, we feel alone. Well, I'd just like to have a friend. Well, Jesus said He'd be that friend. One that sticks closer than a brother. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But sometimes the adversary of our soul causes us to forget. But this morning you can meet me and forget me. It'd be all right. But hang on to Jesus. Let's sing the first verse again. If the ship of your life tossing on the sea of strife, you need someone. If you feel so all alone, your house is not a home, you need someone. If it seems life isn't fair, no one left to share all those lonely days and nights when things don't turn out right, and you want someone to care, someone to just be there. You need some. Here He is.
I give you Jesus.
He's the peace that passes all understanding.
I give you Jesus.
He's the perfect love that casts out my fear.
I give you Jesus.
He's the one. my friend.
My friend, I give you Jesus.
I give you Jesus. He's the water that you'll drink. Never thirst again. I give you Jesus, my friend. I give you Jesus. And what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege just to carry. How much? Everything. Everything to God in prayer. Have you ever been here? And what peace we often forfeit. And oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry. God in prayer. He is my peace. He hath broken down every wall. He is my peace. Jesus is my peace. Oh, He is my peace. He hath broken down every wall. He is my peace. I said Jesus is my peace. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. Oh, He is my peace. Said church, Jesus is my peace. Oh, cast all your cares on Him. For He careth for you, sweet Jesus. He is my peace. Jesus is my peace. Could you just lift your hands to Him and thank Him for the promise? Thank Him for His presence. Thank Him for the power of the Holy Spirit. Just administer the work of God's love and grace and the peace of God. In Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Cast all your cares on Him.
For He cares for you.
My peace. Oh, Jesus
is my peace.
Hallelujah. It's kind of hard to quit singing. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel His presence. John 7:38, He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Father, thank You for Your presence, Your peace, Your power, Your word. Touch us by the power of the Holy Ghost even today. Anoint us to hear and to speak what thus saith the Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. Receive in the name of the Lord. Oh, I feel His presence. We talked about in Psalm 85:6, wilt thou not revive us again, that confession that we have a little deadness, because that means if we all said Wednesday night we need a little reviving. Sister said a lot of reviving. That you see, when we had, you know, you're never going to get anything from the Lord until you confess. You know, until we're honest with ourselves, we'll never be honest with God. We got to get honest with ourselves. If we have need, like the guy came to Jesus, you know, that had the need, and he said, you can have it if you believe it. He said, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Sometimes we have those things that hinder us. Amen. Sometimes we have those things that hinder us. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, could it be that sometimes we have a little unbelief? Ephesians 3:20, when he said that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, and that we rejoice in that, but we got to go on down according to the power that worketh in us. Group was asking Galatians 5, he said, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Said, this didn't come from him that called you. So we have an adversary. We have an interference. We have that the devil couldn't just come up to a good Christian and say, shoot the preacher. He said, I'm not going to kill anybody. I'm a Christian. I'm not a murderer. But he might get us to speak an ill word. And kill his influence. And he said, he that's angry without a cause is what? You're getting down to that murderer's role. So we've got to be careful. So we're talking about needing life. I want to just talk to you just a little while this morning. When he talked about rivers of living water, he that believeth on me, and we all say we believe on Jesus. Which Jesus? The one the scripture talks about, amen. We all believe on this Jesus. Did you know there's a lot of people named Jesus? In fact, Joshua is a Hebrew form of the Greek Jesus. Do you know that? So all these little guys running around named Joshua, that's just a Hebrew form, Yeshua, of Jesus. And these guys from a lot of Spanish countries, they name Jesus. Jesus Cristo, Jesus Christ. But we don't usually see too many people in the English country named Jesus, but a lot of people around the world named Jesus. There were a lot of Jesuses in Jesus' day. But there's only one Jesus that the scripture spoke about. And that's the one, he said, if you believe on me as the scriptures have said. So we're interested in this scriptural Jesus. The only begotten of the Son of God, amen? Amen, so... But he said, if you believe on him as the scriptures have said, out of you there's going to be a product. He's talking about his church. Those, you know, we name ourselves Baptist, Lutheran, Pentecostal, Methodist. Jesus don't name us that way. He don't have, the only brand on us is believer. You know that? What are you? I'm a Baptist. What are you? I'm a Methodist. What are you? We ought to just say, I'm a believer. Amen? You know, he doesn't have 14 different churches or 536 different churches. When you get to heaven, he's not going to have some little cell blocks and not let us know anybody else made it. We had a little church when I pastored in Wickliffe, Kentucky, North Ballard, and I won't tell you what else they put on it. But they had their own cemetery. They really thought if you wasn't a member of their church, you wasn't going. Heaven's going to be kind of lonely and empty. Just one little church had 40 people going to it. Yeah. One little guy out in Oklahoma got all excited one night. He said, there probably ain't over 12, 14 holiest churches in the whole country. And we got 8 or 10 of them right around here. Some people's views pretty, they're kind of like me in the creek. I was talking about the other night. We got to realize there's an ocean out there. God's got a great big plan. Amen. And everyone that believeth on him, he that believeth on him, as the scripture said, there ought to be some life in us. It's not just a claim of a title, but it's a, he said, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. There's an action. And what he said in Revelation, they that read and hear and keep, there's something, there's got to be a product. We don't show people what we believe by what we say. Amen. Our belief is manifest in how we live. There's got to be an outflow, a product of life. If we're in Christ, everything about Christ is life. We need a little reviving because Christ is not going to be seen through a dead church. Christ is going to be seen through a life that's lived, manifesting the fruit of the Spirit and the glory of God and the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, praise God. Hallelujah. Woo. Let's take a look at the Jordan River. Good illustration here. The Jordan River flows the entire length of Israel. How long is that? Well, the word Jordan means descender. It's the only major river of Israel. It flows about 200 miles. 136 miles of it is practically in a straight line. It comes from the heads beneath Mount Hermon and Caesarea Philippi, goes all the way to the Dead Sea. It drops in that 200 miles 3,000 feet. Wow. No wonder it's called the descender. It ranges in width from 45 feet wide. You know, when I was growing up, we'd sing and they'd preach about that mighty Jordan River. We crossed it down there coming out of Jordan into Israel, and it wasn't big as Bradshaw Creek. I thought, what's this? This is the Jordan River. What, I was thinking Ohio, Mississippi, Amazon. When Naaman got dipped in that mighty Jordan, muddy, little 45 feet to 180 feet wide. That's the width of the Jordan River. It ranges usually from 3 to 12 feet deep. There are 9 cities around the Sea of Galilee. There's no city that's built on the banks of the Jordan. Right up close to top, it flows to a little place called Mermom, just a little bitty a place in the Bible is called Hula, and then it goes to the major lake in the middle, and we call it the Sea of Galilee. It's called Gennesaret, called Tiberias, all the same place. Sea of Galilee is about 13 miles long. It's kind of oval in shape. The widest point is 6 miles wide. It has already dropped from the time it started, Caesarea Philippi to Tiberias, to the Sea of Galilee. It's already dropped 700 feet below sea level. Gives it almost a tropical climate right there at the Sea of Galilee. It abounds in fish to the point that even today there are several large fisheries on the lake Gennesaret or the Sea of Galilee. Remember Jesus in his day when he told him to launch out to the deep for a draught, and the nets filled till it broke. How about just before he left, when he told him to cast the net on the right side, caught 153 big fish. The lake, the Sea of Galilee, is teeming with fish. It's alive with fish. And but down at the end of the Jordan River, there's a sea they call the Dead Sea. We were down there. The Dead Sea has got so much stuff in it that it feels slick and oily. They say it's almost impossible. A man has to really make an effort to drown in the Red Sea and the Dead Sea. I mean, it's so full of mineral and salt, you're buoyant. I guess if you just held your face in the water and forced yourself to snuff up the water, you could drown. But it's almost impossible. You're born, so you bob out of the Dead Sea halfway. But the Dead Sea, according to the people I talked to when I was there, said it has no living thing in the Dead Sea. Now, Brother Bond, the same river that flows into the Sea of Galilee that's full of life flows into the Dead Sea that has no life. Same river, same source, same opportunity, same chance. What made the difference? The Sea of Galilee has an outlet. The Dead Sea doesn't have no outlet. It just flows into that old Dead Sea and sits there and evaporates. Same opportunity. And I thought that's exactly like the church. If we're not careful, we have the opportunity. We have the same power and presence of the Holy Spirit. We have the moving of God and God trying to help us. He flows into that Sea of Galilee with life, and the life just multiplies because it's got an outflow. God did not call us as a church in Jonesboro to be a reservoir, but He called us to be a river. Oh, there's good times to kind of get together in our own little reservoir and talk about how much life we got, but if we don't have an outflow, we're going to die. You've got to be more than a stationary church. You got to be more than just gaining the ground and holding it. God's church is a church that's on the move. It's alive. Revival talks about life. Now Jesus said, "He that believeth on me," as the scripture said, "out of his" what? "Belly." That's an interesting word. The word belly, we think about this. But really, and it could in a sense, but the Bible is talking about innermost being, or what you are. But it's also translated womb. Now, where all the kids are going to Sunday school, and I'm not going to be overplaying, but as adults, we understand the womb is where conception takes place. That's where life begins. And that's where life grows. Amen? In the womb, when there's conception and a life has begun, and that life grows, there's life. When God begins to work in us, when we become saved, we become alive in Christ. There's something that begins to grow. Amen? Do you know what, Brother Bond? After a while, there's got to be an output. There's got to be a birth. If there's not a birth, there's going to be a death. You hear me this morning? There's a principle here. He said, "He that believeth on me," as the scriptures have said, he's going to birth some life. You're either going to birth some life or you're going to die. That's pretty serious preaching. It may be more serious than you'd like to hear, but you're either going to birth some life or you're going to die. There is no middle of the road. There's no in between. You mothers that have born children, there came a time there had to be a birth. There'd either be a birth or there'd be a funeral. Because that life cannot stay. The life in the church cannot stay bound up in the four walls of the church. The revival, to be a revival, has got to be a bursting forth. There's got to be a life giving that's thrust outside the doors till our life begins to reflect the living Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for the moving of the Spirit and the new life that we're feeling in the church. But for revival, there's got to be a birthing of that life until it's seen outside the church. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. What does God want? He wants us to take up the challenge and let the world see the living Christ. That men see your good works and glorify your Father. Hallelujah. God's given us another opportunity. That one man that gave his definition of life as unlimited opportunities. God has given us a door of opportunities. He's given us a space of grace. How long it's going to last, I don't know. But I know today is a day of opportunity. Today's a door of opportunity. And God has visited us again. If you don't think there was a visitation, you weren't here last night. We felt the power of the prayer. I feel him this morning. I mean, I couldn't hardly quit singing. I just felt God. But I had this message that there's got to be a birthing. Or they'll just hang Ichabod over the door and say the glory's departed. God's not going to stay with us if we won't produce. He told them Jews, he said, you're going to start producing fruit or I'll go to a people that will. Sometimes, brother and sister, we Americans feel like we got a corner on the gospel, but we don't. I mean, I've been there people that never heard the gospel in their whole life, but when they heard it, they received it. They received it. And they bowed in the presence of God, and the same God that saved me saved them. Same God that filled me with the Holy Ghost filled them. You know what they wanted to do? First thing they want to do when they really get it, they want to go tell somebody else. Amen. Well, I was a Christian. I didn't smoke. So when Philip was born, I gave away candy bars. But I remember I had a desk. I was working for Chevy Shell on 4800 Goodfellow in St. Louis in the master mechanics department. And all down our whole department, there's a glass walls or glass windows. And there's a hallway. And on the other side was another set of offices and things. I put a big old sign right there where they could see it out the window as they walked down the hall. It's a boy, 9 pounds, 12 ounces. Have a candy bar. What was I doing? I was telling somebody there's some new life. And most of you, when that boy or girl was born, put a sign in the yard. It's a girl! It's a boy! What are you doing? You're announcing new life. Who you got there? That's my boy. My grandpa's name was Milas, and his cousin, they had a boy about the same time. My Uncle Wayne had been born to Grandma and Grandpa Suits, and they was visiting. And the cousin said to my grandpa, said, Milas, holding his boy, ain't this the prettiest youngin' you ever seen in your life? And Grandpa said to him, said, all I can say is to every crow, his own baby's the blackest. In other words, he was just as proud of his boy as his cousin was this proud of new life. There's something, if you want a thing to get exciting in the family, have some babies. There's a lady here that didn't want to become a grandmother till she became one. And she now says, that's the dumbest thing I've ever said in my life. Ain't that right, Brenda? Oh, told her. There's something about new life. Well, one person said, if I knew grandkids were so much fun, I'd had them first. One person had a placard. He said, grandchildren is God's reward for you not having an abortion. They're wondering, it's a new life. You know what? Get a church excited when some babies start getting born in the house. You know what? It's a normal, healthy outcome when a couple gets married and they're young and healthy that there ought to be some babies born. It's the plan of God. That's the work of God that babies are born. It's the same thing when the church is alive and healthy. Hey, there'll be some babies born in the house of God. There'll be some outflow. There'll be some birthing in the house, and out of the house, the river of God will flow. You're either going to be a Galilee or a Dead Sea. It's up to you. You can close it off and say, I've got all I want, all I need. Or you can allow God to decide and be a channel, be a river. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying I feel that God is wanting to revive the work in this place. I sense it in my spirit. I felt a fresh challenge from God. Hallelujah. Don't say I'm too young. Don't say I'm too old. Just say, I believe. Let the river flow. Amen. Let the river flow. Let it flow through me. You still want reviving? Reviving is when that refreshing. All of a sudden, you know, in the summertime, sometimes them old creeks stop running. When that creek stops running and it leaves potholes of water, what happens in potholes when the creek stops running? They get stagnant. They get stagnant. They get all scummy, yucky, nasty looking. But when the rain comes and they begin to flow, what happens to all that old scud? I don't know, but it gets out of there. Because when the water gets flowing, the deadness has to leave. I said, when the water gets to flowing, we've felt some rains of refreshing in this place this week. The rain of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I felt it Friday night. I felt it. I think Scott felt it too. On last night, I felt it. I think some others felt it too. Well, when the rain starts a-flowing, a-falling, and the stream starts a-flowing, all that old dead scuzz, slime, stagnation has to get out. Make room for life. Hey, that's what it is in the church. We've been dry too long. We've been scummy too long. I'm not talking about you don't come here with green stuff hanging on your ears. I know that. Well, maybe some of you do. Spiritually. If we could look in God's big mirror, say this is God's big mirror. Are we stagnant? Is that green scum of the world hanging all over us? Or is there something alive? Hallelujah. There's no joy in deadness. There's no happiness in deadness. Hallelujah. Some of the saddest funerals I've ever preached. In my whole life, I can't hardly do them. I've preached multiplied dozens of funerals, but I can't hardly preach a baby's funeral. I see a future gone. I see hope gone. I see a life gone. Oh, somebody that's lived a good life, full life, and served God. I see ceremony, graduation. Somebody said, oh, you ought to think about that they're not going to have to go through all this. Maybe I should, but I see the empty arms of a little mother. I see the haggard face of a dad. I've watched them daddies carry that little casket to this grave. I can't hardly do it, Francis. I wonder what God feels like when we don't have no babies, or we let the babies die. Go. But he's had mercy on us again this week. And we feel a little reviving. And hope has sprung up again that new life can be birthed and presented to the world. My baby. Hallelujah. Till God marches the whole crowd of angels past Jonesboro and said, look at my grandchildren down there. Look at my children. Hallelujah. Oh, saints of God, he that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, he didn't say rivers are going to flow in. He said rivers will flow out. That's life. The life is not just the inflow, but the life is seen in the outflow. At the outflow. Flow through me, Holy Spirit. Flow through me. Mm-hmm. Somebody know that chorus. flow through me. Can't think of it, but I want him to flow through me, Brother Sprouse. I want what you're talking about in Sunday school to be evident in me. I want him to flow through me. I don't want deadness in my spirit. I want life. I want life. I want life seen in the outflow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you? Don't you? I wonder this morning, if just kind of in a commitment to the Lord or a request to the Lord, or could we just come and stand around the front and just kind of present ourselves to the Lord with this prayer, said, Lord, flow through me. Let there be life birthed in me that others can see the living Christ. We're not talking about whether you're a member of church or not. That's the farthest thing from my thinking there is. Worrying about where we're, I belong to Jesus. That's my only allegiance. But I'd like to stand with you this morning. Now, I preached to you Thursday night what you're waiting for. That's my, what do you, do you want that life flowing through you? Would you just come and stand with me around the front and said, let's just present ourselves here as the closing of this service. Said, Lord, I don't want to be a deadhead. I don't want to be a deadhead. I want your life flowing through me. I want the life of the Spirit flowing through me. I want to see something birthed here at this church that would bring glory to God. Oh, Holy Spirit, flow through me in your own words and your own ways. This is your commitment. This is your cry. This is your call to the Lord. I don't want this revival to die today. No, I want the river just to begin to flow. Flow through me, Holy Spirit. If he that believeth on me, as the scripture, out of his womb, their spiritual womb, there's going to be some life formed. There's going to be some life produced. Jesus. Jesus. Let this revival conceive within us a desire for children till we cry out like Rachel of old, oh God, give me children lest I die. Till we be like Hannah of old, till we weep between the porch and the altar and petition God for children. Hallelujah. In your own words, your own way, just lift your hands, your hearts to God. Say, Lord, flow through me. Flow through me. Flow through me. I'm going to be your hand extended. Flow through me. Oh, church, just pour it all out to God. Oh, to be his hand extended, reaching out to thee, oppressed. Oh, let me touch him. Let me touch Jesus. Hallelujah. So that others may know and be blessed. Oh, there's a river flowing from within and to cleanse my soul, and its flow sets my life to glory. Oh, Holy Spirit, more than silver, more than gold. Oh, to be his hand. extended, reaching out to thee, oppressed. Oh, let me touch him. Let me touch Jesus so that others may know
and be blessed.
Oh, let me touch him. Let me touch Jesus. Let me touch him as he passes by, so that I may reach out to others. Oh, they shall know him, they shall live and not die. Oh, to be his hand extending, reaching out to thee, oppressed. Oh, let me touch him. Let me touch Jesus. Hallelujah. So that others may know and be blessed.
So everybody, while they're here, to pray for him, that for his healing this week. Kenny Baker, Francis Hudson.
Praise the Lord. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Lord, touch Kenny's body, Jesus. Touch his body, Lord. Touch his body, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, you got that healing touch, Lord. You got that healing touch. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Bless your people, Jesus.
God, let it be.